Shai Davidi, our MLB insider at Sportsnet, joining us now. Shai, thanks for joining us. Your article, and this kind of went under the radar a little bit, I think, because, you know, you think positive drug test, you kind of look, okay, minor leaguers, positive drug test, and you shrug. But your article on the Blue Jays conducting an investigation into what is a spike of positive drug tests, especially with their team in the Dominican Summer League, it fascinates me anytime an organization decides it needs to conduct an internal investigation. I'm just wondering, though, for Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, given the attention being placed on, you know, PEDs by the commissioner's office now, I would think that their first reaction is, we better look into why these minor leaguers have been suspended before somebody else does it for us.
I think there's certainly that element to it, but to me, the Blue Jays were, you know, Ross Atkins had some comments about it, but it was very vague in terms of kind of what's going on in terms of what they're looking for. But you have six guys who all were in the Dominican Summer League program, all testing positive for the same substance. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have a group in the same at a shared location, within the same time frame, getting caught with the same substance, well, it makes you wonder, okay, is there a point source? Is there a person that's feeding them? What's behind that? And so that, to me, is my guess is what they're investigating. You know, the specifics, again, you know, Ross Atkins didn't want to get into specifics mm-hmm. just yet. But that to me is the obvious connection. You start wondering, okay, well, is there perhaps a bit of a problem? Is there one bad apple in the organization, player-wise, that's distributing to other players? Is this coming from an agent? Is it coming from a trainer? What's the background on that specific situation, and then that's how you kind of make a decision.
Yeah, I look at some of the numbers, and you know, people are going to say, "Well, okay, six is, you know, you're right. That's a lot in one location." But if you look at the numbers, the overall numbers, one thing the Blue Jays have been, you know, they've been lucky about, or vigilant, whatever some combination thereof, vigilance and luck. You know, in the major league level, first baseman Chris Colabello is the only one who has ever been suspended. But it seems as if this is, you know, really in the past 2 years, as if there's really been a spike. I think you point out in your article, before 2016, the Jays never had more than three drug suspensions in a single season. And, you know, last year they had six, and then, of course, there's this as well. I'll ask you this. Did this have anything to do at all with the changeover in administration? What I mean by that, sort of, you know, the fact that when you do have a changeover in administration and you've got a lot going on, sometimes stuff might fall through the cracks. And I'm thinking particularly of, you know, who you're hiring as a trainer in the minor league system, or sort of who the support staff are in the minor league system.
No, I don't think that's the issue at all. And if you look at the data, you're right. There was a spike. I mean, it's 60. They've had 31 minor league suspensions since the punitive drug program was implemented in 2005, and 13 of the 31 have occurred in the past 2 years. But if you break it down, last year was this sort of grab bag of stuff. You had one player suspended for a drug of abuse. You had one player suspended for not reporting for a drug test. You had two players suspended for the use of stimulants.
Right.
And so it's not one commonality.
Right.
And whereas this year there's a commonality there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the seven suspensions, the six over the past week that were all for steroid boldenone. And a previous one is on September 1st for metabolites of stenazolol, which is the another kind of steroid. So that's where there's a big difference between last year and this year, whereas last year you can just say, you know, that's just you know, the stuff that's going to happen periodically because human beings are human beings. Whereas this year, on the surface, it would just makes you think, there's at least the possibility that there's something bigger going on, mm-hmm. Or that there's one source that's feeding it to the players.
Right.
And so, you know, with the way business can sometimes be a bit of a wild west out in the Dominican Republic and in certain parts of Latin America, I think the Blue Jays are well advised to sort of look into what are some of the root causes here and try to figure it out, especially because one of the players who was suspended, the shortstop Hugo Cardona, he's someone they put $300,000 into last year, someone that they liked, who they felt, you know, athletic, had a chance to be a plus-plus runner, chance to stay at shortstop. You know, they want to make sure that, you know, this isn't something that's going to potentially damage his future.
On a bit of a wider scale, we've had two instances now this week. So the Jays investigating, like your article lays out, and everything that goes along with that. And then also with the Braves and what's been happening with them and their international signings and the sanctions that were laid down against them by Major League Baseball. It's a bigger problem. It's away from the United States, away from what's right in front of you. There's a lot of issues going on. And specifically in your article, you talk about the Dominican Summer League where all these infractions were happening. We were talking to Jeff Passan yesterday, I believe it was, and he was saying that major reforms need to happen. And I'm just wondering your take on this. What do you think would be the best starting point, the jump off point for either organizations or the league to just try and get a better handle on things that are going on, even though it's not right in front of them on a daily basis?
Well, I think the everyone's got a pretty good idea of what's going on in Latin America, you know, and Rob Manfred just last week at the GMAs was making the point that, you know, when he took over, he told teams, look, I'm going to be trying to clean up the way business is conducted in Latin America, because, you know, I think you talk to some people in the industry, they say, hey, the Wild West is a kind description of it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the Braves certainly had the book thrown on them, but a lot of teams are sort of bending on the verge of breaking the rules, similarly to the Braves, maybe not to the extent that they did, but every team is pushing the envelope because that's what it takes to get players there and to have success there. And, you know, it's a fine balance a lot of teams are walking. And I wonder now, with this discipline and, you know, the fact that John Coppolella's career was ended in Major League Baseball, if this may send a bit of a chill through the executives who are doing business there and get them to say, you know what, we've got to be a little bit more above board.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also on the other side. And, you know, the Buscones, the trainers who run the academies from which a lot of these young players are picked up from, you know, there are some that are very reputable and there are some that are less so. And, you know, that you've got money, at times big money in a region where, you know, job opportunities aren't always plentiful for young men. So this has become an industry of its own. And then how do you regulate that in a way that's both fair locally and fair by our standards in North America? That's the challenge. And so I think Major League Baseball certainly wants to work at that. There's been, you know, Rob Manfred has made some efforts. There have been some improvements where certain prospect teams are brought together under a Major League Baseball setting for teams to evaluate and try to get a handle on. But there's still a lot of shady stuff that happens in the shadows, as the Braves discipline indicates.
You know, one of the things that I think of when I hear the Braves story and when I see this, to me it just points even more to the need for an international draft and for a regulation of an easier regulation of where the money goes. Because ultimately, you know, you look at the bonus system, I mean, there's still an element of honor to it, right? You can still, it's still easy to lose track of the money trail if you want. And I think this just points to the need for that international draft and make Dominican players eligible for the draft the same as other players. And to me, that's also fair. It's also fair to allow these kids to be paid at a market value.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that in principle. I think the challenge is what happens locally into the networks that build up and develop these players if you're going through a draft. And will if you take the money away from those Buscones, the trainers, locally, does the talent stop being developed in a way that makes it as plentiful? Because, you know, a lot of people will say when the draft was instituted in Puerto Rico, that killed a lot of the talent development
right
there, because a lot of the money was removed. And so, you know, I think it's from a moral standpoint, it's absolutely, and an ethical standpoint, it's absolutely the right thing to do. But in practicality, there are some other considerations that there's a local impact that, you know, that we might not consider here that could be very detrimental over there.